Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve off-court problems. They'll talk about the latest news in college and professional basketball with coaches like Jim Boeheim, former players like Stephanie White, basketball analysts like Grant Hill, and more. Revealing insights that made them into the leaders they are today. And don't miss President Obama, sharing how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism.
Ryan, it's been a minute since I've said this to you. It's mailbag time. We're going to get to a mailbag here, and we're going to get to a few of these. And I just want to kind of begin with a little bit of the comments from the beginning. And Salty Virginia Peanuts was one of several people that said, Happy Friday, Ivy Nation. Blessings to Angela, Brian and Angela. Keep on rocking, Rita. And then Anthony Solomon also glad that they're having a show today. I'm also glad that Brian and Angela are feeling better. So I won't dive too much into this on this particular show, but I put a very long message board post on the board last night. Just a little update on our dog, Rita. So Saturday during the post-game show, I got a frantic text from my wife who'd been trying to call me saying, you need to call me now. She was at the vet with Rita. They found two masses in her body, and her body was like kind of killing itself on the inside. Her blood was not... her immune system was attacking her blood cells and all these type of different things, which combined with the two masses they found had them thinking that she had cancer. And the vet actually, and I listened to the video last night, Ryan, or I listened to the audio because Angela recorded the audio. So that way we could kind of look back and she could let me hear it. And the lady suggested that we euthanize Rita that night. And so Angela's like, we're not doing that until Brian gets home. So I had to change my plans around and flew home Sunday. And then we took Rita to our vet on Monday. That was an emergency vet, and they were very caring and nice. So there was no complaints because, I mean, they were just doing what the science told them to do. Our vet saw the same masses on her insides, and her body had gone into full-fledged anemia at that point in time. So they said the only chance you have is to get her down to Purdue, the veterinary hospital at Purdue. So we did that, and they said by Friday, you know, if you don't do something now, by Friday she may not be here. And so they thought it was cancer. We took her to the emergency vet at Purdue that night. They admitted her to the hospital. They said she's got anemia, and they saw the two masses. They looked at the charts and they said, this looks like cancer. And then when you combine the anemia with it, I guess that's something that goes with it. And so we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And Monday she went into the vet, or she went in to get a CT scan at Purdue, which is a much more intensive scan. And the big mass that was in her stomach was gone. Completely gone. And they still to this day, Ryan, have not been able to identify why she went from fine on Wednesday to anemic on Saturday. And now she's home and doing much better and she's got her energy back. So I believe it was a miracle and a blessing. And I believe that God has worked in our lives. I've said to y'all a bunch of times in the show, I believe in the power of prayer. And I think we saw that this week. But also, Ryan, I really am thankful for the community that we have. We had so many people reaching out saying they were thinking of us and praying for us. And just love so much of what this community is. And I was the one that benefited from it this time. And I can't tell you how much it meant to me to have so many people that just care about you. Like people that have never actually physically met in person that just care about each other and love each other and support each other in not just talking football, but in other stuff. And I can't tell you how much that means to me, everybody, so much. And Ryan, thank you for stepping up this week and allowing me to kind of focus on my family while you kind of ran stuff. So appreciate all that, everybody. But that's the latest. She's upstairs resting right now, but she's got her energy back and her blood levels were back up to normal. She went from anemic 2 days ago to normal blood levels today. And the vet said, we don't know. We have no clue what happened here. So I was like, I know, but we don't need to get into that right now. So anyway, so that's the latest with our family. And again, appreciate all of you so, so very much.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
But Ryan, this is still a football show. And so we're going to in some mailbag questions about football. And the first one here from Quinn Kibler. He says, mailbag, what did you think? What did you think of Wake Forest slow turtle mesh against Clemson? Surprised it worked that well. Quinn, that's what they've always done. They have done that for years. The reason it didn't, and you and I talked about this game last week, Ryan. Yeah. And we didn't think Wake could score against Clemson because the way that Brent Venables had attacked that mesh for years just blew it up. But what we said was, we don't know how Wes Goodwin is going to be. Apparently, Wes Goodwin did not watch film of the way Brent Venables attacked that, because that was a terrible defensive game plan by Clemson. They allowed that mesh to happen, and they allowed Wake Forest to do to them what they do to everybody else, where Venables just attacked it and made you declare early. The thing you and I talked about in the summer, Ryan, very good front seven, questionable secondary. That questionable secondary got exposed big time against Wake, because unlike the Georgia Tech game where guys were getting open, but Jeff Sims was missing him or he wasn't getting time to throw, Wake Forest did a pretty decent job of giving Sam Hartman enough times for him to make some big plays in the pass game. And they started to run on Clemson in the second half. So I didn't understand Wes Goodwin's game plan, to be completely honest with you. And that's, to me, it was more about that than anything else, in my opinion.
It was a bizarre game, Brian, because like you said, I mean, Wake Forest only had like 4 yards rushing at halftime. And then the second half, man, it was just like Clemson was just getting worn down. And to your point, I feel, and this is without watching the coach's film, like, so this is not a super educated opinion, but it almost felt like Clemson was like, oh, man, in the second half, like, they're running the football on us. We need to kind of use extra players into the box to stop this thing. And then they're leaving their corners kind of one-on-one against guys like A.T. Perry, and I forget what number 80's name is in that game that had a huge game. He had like 140-something yards and a couple touchdowns in that game. But they were just leaving these guys one-on-one. And right now, at least at this point in the season, Clemson's corners look a little bit like a weakness to this secondary, right? Or to this team right now. Like, I can't remember these corners being this bad, Brian. I mean, like, they've always had a guy, right? Like an A.J. Terrell, a Darian Kendrick, a Andrew Booth. Like, they've always had a guy where you're like, okay, that guy's a future NFLer. Like, he's a good football player, you know? Like, right now, I don't know who they have. I mean, I know they have a couple of young guys that are starting to get a little bit of playing time, but, like, they just don't have a guy right now. It's a little troubling for Clemson. I guess I'll give them a little golf clap on the other side of things. At least the offense stepped up in this game, and DJ had a good game.
He had one of his best games.
So
Wake's defense stinks. Yes, Wake's defense stinks.
It's so bad. Stinks. It's really bad. To Quinn's question, Quinn, Wake Forest has always been one of my least favorite teams to scout because I hate the elongated mesh. I hate it so much. It's so stupid. Because as a former linebacker, I'm like, to your point about Venables, why would I just blitz and attack this thing and just destroy it at the point of its destroy it at the point of mesh? Like, just kill it, right? But for whatever reason, second half, they were wearing them down. So good for Wake Forest, man. Right. They played really tough in that football game. They
did
me wrong. They played really tough.
And their reward, Ryan, after that is now the old Demon Deacons have to go on the road and play Florida State, who's 4-0. So
it's going to be a tough
one, very
man.
Curious how they're going to bounce back. But, you know, it's interesting, like you said, they did all that with A.T. Perry having four catches for 51 yards. That's it.
I mean, it wasn't
that's a decent game. Four catches, 51 yards, and a touchdown is not a bad game. But for A.T. Perry, it's not a very good game. But Jamal Banks is the guy you're talking about. Yes. And the other guy too that had a couple of big plays is Donovan Green, who I brought up last week. Former, he was kind of a basketball player, but he only had two catches, but they went for 53 yards and they were both touchdowns. Like, they were just ripping them down the field, man. I mean, they're just ripping them down the field, and there was nothing I felt like Clemson made very few adjustments, and the little adjustments I did see in the second half were like, why would that be your adjustment? Like, you just made it easier on them to run on you. And they're still hitting down. You haven't stopped the down the field shots, but you made it easier on them to run. It's a very puzzling game plan. And honestly, you and I discussed this. I don't think we discussed on the show, but you know, Clemson has improved this year, but their success is a little, to me, has not been as, they haven't been as dominant as their it may look. Like the 41-10 against Georgia Tech, that was like 14-10 game in the third quarter. Like, Georgia Tech had multiple chances to make that a tie game in the second half. They poured it on in the fourth quarter of that game. That was not a typical 41-21 football game. You know what I mean, Ryan? And and same, like, they beat Furman like 35-12. You know, their game against Louisiana Tech was very close at halftime, and they poured it on in the second half. You know, they scored 27 points in the second half against Georgia Tech. You know, 14-3 at halftime. You know, it's, and Georgia Tech just – that was more about just how bad Georgia Tech is as a team. I mean, guys just dropping balls. And, I mean, you know, they were scheming Clemson. I mean, but like, there were guys open against Clemson for Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. They just – they weren't able to make the plays on the ball. Louisiana Tech game was similar. It was 13-6 at halftime. They've scored 21 in the third quarter, and kudos to them. But they had two 32-yard touchdown drives in the second half, right? That was their defense put them in some good positions. So, anyway, you know, to me, Ryan, they're beatable, but this year's team has learned how to win tough games. The thing that hurt Clemson in the past, they hardly ever played competitive games in our season, again, in conference. And so last year, I don't think they handled that real well. This year, they're doing it. They are not playing pretty, but still winning. Because last year's team last year's team for Clemson would have lost Saturday to Wake Forest. No doubt in my mind. So that is a positive to see if you're looking at it from a Clemson standpoint. You have a super chat from – go ahead.
I was just going to say that Williams kid from Clemson's a player, by the way, the slot receiver number zero.
He's talking about – who are you talking about?
The freshman.
Antonio Williams, the kid who's a true freshman.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I didn't know.
Clemson passed the waiver where they're allowed to play freshmen.
Oh, gotcha. That's my bad.
Notre Dame forgot to do that before the season.
That's my bad. They didn't get that waiver done in time. Got it.
Or it wasn't passed. One or the other.
Good to know. Yeah, that's great. You're able to use freshman receivers. Who knew? Sorry for the sarcasm. It's been a long week. Gregory Gilbert with a super chat. Thank you, Gregory. If the system is that complicated, then they need to change it. Sick of seeing big time programs playing young kids. Tell me something has to change at Notre Dame. And especially since Notre Dame kids are smart. I mean, we always hear that, how smart Notre Dame kids are. And I believe that to be true. But it's kind of like, well, your level of smartness based on what? You know, I mean, if you're asking a really smart freshman to handle a senior calculus class, he's going to look like a kid who's not ready for that. Whereas at Bama, at Clemson, at Georgia, at Ohio State, they don't ask their freshmen to know advanced calculus. Say, let's put you in a freshman class, and then we'll use your talent in that regard. And Notre Dame just refuses to do that. And yes, Gregory, it needs to change. I mean, it's needed to change for a while. You could use an exception here that, okay, Jordan Johnson wasn't focused off the field. Okay, fine. Take him out. then let's keep talking about, why did Will Fuller only catch six passes as a freshman? Why did Kevin Austin only catch five? Why did Braden Lindsay hardly play at all as a freshman? You know, I mean, we could do this all flipping day. You know, I mean, why did you need two guys to get injured last year before you finally started making Lorenzo Styles a focal point of your offense, right? We saw Logan Diggs last year. Well, he's not ready. He didn't play a single snap until the Virginia Tech game, and all of a sudden looked like a guy that knew how to play against Virginia Tech. Who knew? Yep. You're going to tell me that the light just went on that Wednesday? Or would he not have played if Chris Tyree wasn't hurt and we never would have known that he was already ready to play? And so,
I know that Notre Dame had a really good running back, obviously, in Kyren Williams. So, like, I'm not saying it should have been like a running back by approach type of committee, but the three trio of backs that we're so excited about this year, they were all on the team last year, right? I know that Chris Tyree was dealing with, you know, being banged up and all that good stuff, but I mean, what did SMA have on the season? Like seven carries?
And they all came in like two games late in the year in November. Yeah.
Right.
Diggs didn't play. Here's my point, Ryan. I'm not even saying you need to take a ton of carries away from Kyren Williams. And also, he didn't play a snap, Ryan. Not a snap. Yeah. Audric Estime, I don't think, played a snap other than like some lead blocking things in a couple games all season until late. And that's the frustration. I'm not saying Tobias Merriweather needs to be the focal point of their offense. We're not saying that, right? But there's definitely happy meeting between doing nothing and asking him to be, you know, Michael Floyd as a freshman, right?
Right.
Not asking him to be that. So it's just, again, it's a coaching problem, not a player problem. Michael S., can you explain what the quarterback rating number is? So essentially, it's a formula that takes into account attempts, completions, yards, yards per attempt, touchdowns, and interceptions. And there's certain numbers that you add, some add for count, you divide them by certain things, and then it spits out the number. It's a number that is very... Ryan, it puts a lot of emphasis on efficiency. So, you know, teams that maybe don't throw for a ton of yards, but complete a lot of passes are going to have a higher quarterback rating. Now, and that's why CJ Stroud's number last year was so absurd, because he was not only a guy that threw for a lot of yards, but also threw for a lot of yards per attempt.
Yes.
And so it's definitely something that values that. And it doesn't love turnovers. But look, the guy that led the nation in quarterback rating last year, finished sixth in the nation in quarterback rating last year, led the nation in yards per game, was Bailey Zappe, and he had 11 interceptions. Stetson Bennett finished fourth in quarterback rating last year. He threw seven interceptions, but it's like 3-6, 3-7, 4. So high yards per – and here's the other thing. If you look at the top 10 in yards per quarterback rating last year, here's their yards per attempt. Starting from 10, going up 9-1, 8-7, 9-7, 8-9, 8-7, 9-1, 10, 9-7, 10-1, 11-9. To me, the greatest efficiency number that you can have as a quarterback is your yards per attempt, more so than yards per completion. And then I also like seeing a quarterback who has a smaller gap between yards per attempt. Like, you don't want a guy that's like 8.5 yards per attempt and 17 yards per completion, because that tells me you're just hitting a bunch of big plays, but you're inefficient. I want the guy that's like 9-14. You know, like that tells me a lot about the explosiveness and efficiency of your offense, right? But that's my best way to answer that question. So you want to make a run at it?
Brian, I was just going to say that, quick mention of Western Kentucky, man. They are a fun offense to watch, by the way.
Yeah.
Quick tangent, because I don't know if you saw it, but they had a Division II champion quarterback, Austin Reed. He played at West Florida, transfer over to Western Kentucky, and they look exactly the same as they did last year.
Wasn't the kid they had last year a Division II transfer?
Zappy was an FCS kid.
So FCS, close. Okay.
I'm talking about like Division II.
Where was he?
Went from Division II up to Group of Five, which is
a Where was Zappy game. From?
Zappy was from Houston Baptist.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, yeah, yeah. D2, West Florida to – I don't care what level of FBS you're playing is a big jump.
It's a big jump.
And as we've seen, Ryan, the Sun Belt's pretty good conference this year.
Yeah, for this year, they're playing fantastic. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a – it is a fun offense to scout. Brian, New York, Georgia doubted Bennett, Stetson Bennett. Why can't Drew Pine be our Stetson Bennett? Well, first of all, Stetson Bennett's like 3 years in the program longer than Drew Pine is right now. Number one. Number two, I mean, I'm trying to think of the right way to answer this. I think right now Stetson Bennett is older, stronger, more experienced than Drew Pine. It took Stetson Bennett till his fifth year to look like a competent college quarterback.
Yes.
I mean, Stetson Bennett before last year was not very good. I mean, he just wasn't. And he has really good players around him. I mean, that helps too. And I'll tell you what Todd Monk is doing. He's doing a great job of scheming that offense up this year.
Sure is.
Great job of scheming up. They didn't look great against Texas, against Kent State. I'll say that. But for up until last week's game, they were scheming up the heck out of some people. Now they haven't really been tested by a good defense yet. I don't think Oregon has a good defense, but so the tests are going to ramp up a little bit here moving forward. But yeah, he's smart. He knows where to go with football. He's gutsy. He plays with a lot of Stetson Bennett is in his head way better than he actually is physically.
Yes.
And that's very important. I'm not saying that as an insult or to make fun of him. I'm saying that as a compliment. Because you can't have the success that he's had if you have a realistic expectation, if you have a realistic evaluation of yourself. If Stetson Bennett knew his talent level the way that you and I know his talent level, he does not play with the guts and the confidence and the take the chances that he takes against Bama and, you know, Cincinnati and teams that he plays. He just doesn't, Ryan. He thinks he's way better than he is. And Drew Pine has some of that in him too. We saw it last year. We did not see it in the spring. We did not see it against Marshall. And we did not see it much against Cal. We finally saw it against Carolina. Now let's see Drew do that against a defense that's not terrible. Right. But there are some similarities there, Ryan. I would say that. I would say Stetson has a little bit better deep ball arm right now than Drew Pine. But that's also because he's like 4 years older than Drew Pine, like in age. I mean, I'm serious. He's like 25 years old.
Yeah.
I think Drew's like 20 right now, like 20, almost 21. So yeah, Drew Pine will throw a better deep ball in 4 years when he'll be on Stetson Bennett's age. So it helps.
Oh man. You know how I'm really funny on Twitter?
Sure. Yeah, let's go with that.
I made a tweet about Stetson Bennett a couple weeks ago. You know, like when you're in college and you have to do a group project with a bunch of random people that you've never talked to in the class. Mm-hmm. And then the one person does all the work and then everyone gets the same grade. Stetson Bennett's one of the people that didn't do that much of the project, but got a really good grade because, hey, what's the biggest difference? Georgia has a lot of talent around him, man. Like he doesn't really get touched in that pocket, man. They've done a good job developing offensive line. They have really good running backs. They have great tight end room. They've done a great job assembling a good team around him where Stetson knows who he is.
And he does his job.
Ryan, like he is comfortable in his own skin and he doesn't make a ton of mistakes because he knows what is expected of him. So that's why he is what he is right now.
It helps you not be afraid to make mistakes when you know you have an elite defense on the other side of the ball.
Yes.
It does. Yes. It does. Now, some of the hype about him through the first three games was just annoying because it's like, guys, he's throwing to wide open receivers. He's playing bad defenses. Like he ripped up Samford in South Carolina. Who are not good. So can we like pump the brakes a little bit on like the Heisman talk and some of this other kind of stuff? Like, let's just chill out a little bit on some of this stuff, guys. Okay. Let's go and do that. Anthony Solomon, a super chat. Thank you very much for this, buddy. A little something for Ms. Rita. I appreciate you very, 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 very much. Another super chat from Tyler Evans. I want to wish Jason Evans a happy 50th birthday. He is my hero, role model, and best friend, and my dad. I love you, and go Irish. So Jason Evans, my man, I hope you're also a Notre Dame fan like your son. That would mean that you did some really good parenting by developing your son into a Notre Dame fan. But Jason Evans, buddy, thank you very, very much. Happy 50th birthday to you. And we want to thank your son, Tyler, for being a part of our Irish Breakdown community. It definitely means a lot to us. So thank you for that, Tyler. Tyler Smith, this is Tyler Day. Tyler Smith says, when is Donovan Heinisch going to get some reps? Hopefully a couple blowouts. I think the plan has always been for Donovan to be a redshirt guy, which I think they would have liked to have done with Kurt if they were able to. The only reason Kurt played in 2017 is because Kurt's just got that mindset of he's just not going to take a redshirt, but their depth at defensive tackle was terrible. Mm-hmm. And fortunately for him, COVID hit, which allowed him to get his fifth year, because I think Kurt is more ready now to make an NFL roster, which he did, than he would have been coming out in 2020 after 2020. I think the extra year in the weight room for a guy like Kurt Heinisch helps a lot, and I think it'll help Donovan as well. I think we'll see him, Ryan, I mean, the sad thing is the one game that should have been a blowout for Notre Dame wasn't. And so you couldn't get some of those young guys snaps. And then now, you know, hopefully against UNLV and some of these games moving forward, you know, Navy, you'll have a couple of these games where you can really blow a team out and get guys like that some snaps. But it'll be late game, you know, get some young guys some reps, and I don't think you'll see him play more than four snaps, nor should he. They need to put some distance between Donovan and the older kids, number one, and number two. Donovan needs time. He's an undersized, quick, athletic, undersized guy that needs a year in the weight room. You do not want to burn a year of eligibility for Donovan Hynish. If he's going to have a chance to help Notre Dame, it's going to be more so in years 3 to 5 than years 1 and 2, right? And so that's where it is for Donovan. So I don't think we'll see a ton of him this year other than mop-up minutes, Ryan. Do you agree or disagree with that?
No, I agree completely. I think that you want to get him a little bit of game action, but I'll also reserve that redshirt. And we talked about it, Brian, right? The interior defensive line has been playing good ball, man. So I don't think there's there's not a massive need to start getting him reps, right? Like, you could be patient with him.
Right. And that's good for him. That patience is very good for him, to your point. Agree completely.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jacob Steely says, Brian, B. Ryan, I noticed Marcus Freeman said the guys needed practice during the bye week and no time off, but is that something that Brian Kelly used to do, or did he give guys off? By the way, I prefer the Marcus Freeman approach, just asking. I'm a big fan of staying and practicing during a bye week, except when it's maybe a midterm week or it's spring break or winter break. Let guys go home for a few days if it's middle to later in the year. Ryan, when it is a bye week in September, that is not the time, especially when you're 0-2. That is not the time for me to be focusing on giving guys days off. Now, pull back from the bang, pull back maybe from the number of reps, maybe do a couple, you know, uppers practices where maybe you're not putting the same pounding on them. But this is a team in all phases that needs to work. I think they definitely need to work.
I mean, Brian, like, you have good things. You have things trending in the right direction, right? So, like, I don't want to kill momentum. Mm-hmm. Like, I want these guys to keep staying in that groove. And let's really start to accentuate the things that we're doing well and keep it moving, man. Absolutely.
Plus, Drew Pine being thrust in the lineup. He's only played 2 games as starter. He needs the work. He needs the timing, all that. Maybe pull back the reins a little bit on the volume, Ryan. But, yes, they need to work this week. And I agree with you. Later in the year, maybe different. A more veteran team, maybe. But this team needs it.
Yes.
Tyler Evans with another super chat. Thank you, Tyler. With USC and UCLA coming to the Big Ten, how would you reshape the divisions? I would go – so, well, at that point in time, we'll have, what, 16 teams, Ryan?
Yeah, sounds right. Yep.
I would 16 teams. I'd probably go four – I'd probably go pods four, and go four and four.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then just have, like, you know, I'd have, like, UCLA, USC. I mean, take the most West teams you can get, maybe throw Nebraska in there or something, and go that way, and then have, like, Ohio State, Michigan State, and, you know, I don't know, pick a long time, you know, just try to mix it up that way. Yeah. But honestly, right now, Tyler, the reason that I'm not going to – I think it's different is I think they're still trying to build. I think they want at least 2 to 4 more teams in the Big Ten. So I think you're going to wait to see them kind of fill out. I think they want to get to 20. And if they get to 20, the pods make even more sense right now. Yeah. I think 16, there might even be enough for, you know, honestly, at 16, it's almost at a bad place for divisions, but it's also too small for pods. I'd almost go divisionless at that point in time. And just have like kind of like the ACC's, and you have your 3 teams that you play every year. And you have a couple, you know, this, and then just like mix it up a little bit. I think that at 16, it's too big for divisions at 16, because you're going to play like what, one or two games against the other division. It's like, it's silly. I just go divisionless at that point in time. I'm not really a big fan of divisionless football when it's bigger, but sometimes you get too big for divisions. And I think 16 is that cutoff for me.
It's going to get messy, man. It is going to get messy. I'm very much looking forward to seeing how this whole thing rounds out. Because I mean, to your point, Brian, I think 20 is the number. I agree. I think that it's where they want to get to. It's just, man, there's a lot to figure out when that happens. You know,
yes. Like
it's
just, yes.
Oh, it's giving me a headache. Absolutely. Just thinking about it, man. I feel like I'm watching the Bengals game again last night with those terrible white uniforms that were just giving me a headache. Yes.
Oh, they were brutal. And then there's people like giving you a hard time. Like,
people fought back so hard. I'm just guys,
what are you looking at? It's ridiculous. We are not Marshall. Great comment. I'm ready for the day that we have a podcast. We don't have to complain about the lack of use of device. Hey, you and me both. Right? You and me both. I don't enjoy it. Michael Borth said, Brian, please calm down the masses. BYU is exposed by Utah State last night. BYU is a poor man's Carolina. We will throat punch them. Notre Dame may very well throat punch BYU, but with all due respect, BYU is a better football team than North Carolina. You know, look, BYU did not play well last night and still won by double digits over Utah State. Now, Utah State's not a great team. Utah State is now 1-4, but Utah State lost to Alabama, right? They lost to, you know, UNLV was a bad loss. I mean, they're not a terrible football team. And BYU played bad. And still won. I mean, again, Notre Dame lost to Marshall, y'all. Like, they lost to Marshall, who lost to Bowling Green. And you know, who was the team that beat Marshall the other day, right? Or, like, this past weekend?
Troy, right?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I mean, that's just bad.
That's actually a better loss than losing to Bowling Green, though. But, yeah.
That's true.
Bowling Green's terrible, man.
Yeah. They're not good, y'all. I mean, their two wins are over Norfolk State and Notre Dame, right? I mean, you know, so Notre Dame still has a lot to prove, but you know, BYU is not a good run defense. They're not. They've given up 200 yards at least like three times already this year. They're not, but they are a team that does other things really well. They're a very dangerous offense. They're not a good defense. Notre Dame should move the ball and score on them. Simple as fact. And that's why I picked them to lose to Oregon, because, oh, they beat Baylor. Baylor's offense is not good. At least it wasn't up to that. It wasn't up until the Iowa State game. I thought they looked much better against Iowa State. Maybe they're kind of a little bit of a breakout against Iowa State. Maybe. We'll see. But they're not good. Baylor made BYU's defense look better than it was. South Florida actually moved the ball on them a little bit. And so I thought they'd lose to Oregon. They did. I didn't think it'd be that big of a blowout. And then Utah State moved it on them. But, you know, they're not good there, but they're very good in some other areas. And they are going to be a tough out. And the reason I want to push back on this, Ryan, is because if you don't appreciate how good BYU is, if Notre Dame wins, and if Notre Dame wins convincingly, it diminishes how impressive of a victory that would be. This is a team that went 6-1 last year against Power 5 teams. 6-1. Yep. And they've already got a Power 5 win over a team that won the Sugar Bowl last year. So, you know, that's a good team. And then we're going to end here, Ryan, from Ian Johnson. B. Ryan, agree or disagree? The Pac-12 and Big 12 are the most entertaining to watch. There's no truly dominant team in the conference, and the talent is pretty well spread out. What say you, Ryan? I would agree with half of that.
I don't like watching the Pac-12. USC makes it better. Page.
Yes.
Right. Like, they make it better. It's a little more entertaining. But, I mean, Chip Kelly can get my attention at times, you know, offensively, at least from a run game perspective. Like, I think he's pretty creative in what he does as from a formational perspective and just from a scheme perspective. But, I mean, Oregon, I think, is pretty boring. Washington State's trying to do the air raid thing. I don't think they do it very well. Washington's, like, kind of entertaining, I guess, with Kalen DeBoer. So, I guess they're getting more entertaining as I'm kind of working through some of the teams, but like, I guess I would take Big 12 as a little more entertaining. Yeah. I actually like the guy that was at Western Kentucky last year with Bailey Zappe is now actually the offensive coordinator at Texas Tech now. So I think that they're going to be a lot more entertaining to watch. Texas, as long as they're healthy, Sarkisian, I think, has a lot of good things happening there. And TCU with Sonny Dykes now in, I think has been, I mean, Max Duggan looks like a completely different quarterback than he has over the last couple of years. So I'd probably say Big 12 is a little more exciting for me to watch, but I don't know, Brian, I just don't really get much kicks out of the Pac-12 anymore. It's not quite as good as it used to be, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is not. Yes, I would say it's a very competitive league, but it's more so competitive because nobody's good. I think the Big 12's problem is there's not a great team in the Big 12, but there's a lot of quality football teams in the Big 12, which is why we see the Big 12 pull off some upset wins every year. You know, I like the Big 12. I think I like it even more the last couple of years because the defense has gotten better. It's still not great, but it's gotten better. And I think it's a good league. Oklahoma State's a quality football team.
Baylor.
TCU, Baylor. You know, obviously Oklahoma and Texas are still in it. Texas Tech had some really competitive games against Big 12 teams recently. They're playing better. They're the teams made the biggest jump on defense in recent years. They're still not great, but they used to be terrible. Kansas is better under Lance Leopold. I mean,
I forgot about Kansas, man. Talk about a fun
Kansas
story.
State under Chris Kleeman. I mean, there's not a bad team in the Big 12 this year. There's just no great team in the Big 12 this year. I would rather watch that than an SEC with three great teams and a bunch of And I would watch. I'd rather watch Kansas, Kansas State, or I mean, pick the two worst teams in the Big 12, whoever you think they are. I'd rather watch that than almost any matchup in the Pac 12. So I agree. The Big 12 is, and I've said this for years, the reason the Big 12 gets has never gotten the respects they should, Ryan, is because there's no great team. I like the conference that's got depth. That's more entertaining to me than a conference that has a team playing for the title, but nothing like the ACC with Clemson. Right, the Big 12's been better than the ACC for years. There's just no Clemson in the Big 12. But 2 through 10 and now 2 through 12 are going to be better. And then when you add the two – oh, I'm sorry, there is a bad team in the Big 12, West Virginia. They're not good. Yeah. But that's the one
But bad. They're not as bad as the worst team in the Pac-12, Colorado.
Correct. Who is awful. They would smash Colorado.
Any team would smash – any Power 5 team. I think they might be the worst Power 5 team out there.
They're really bad. They're really, really bad. And I think the Big 12 is going to get even better. I mean, yes, they're going to lose Texas and Oklahoma. I'm talking about from a depth standpoint. Cincinnati, BYU, Houston, and then I'm drawing Central Florida. That's going to make that league really good, where the Pac-12 has a much bigger names. I could not care less about the Pac-12. I am liking that Washington's coming back, though. I think Kalen DeBoer is – if Kalen DeBoer stays at Washington, and if Oregon can keep doing what they're doing and kind of building, and then USC can get back to being good, and what Chip's doing at UCLA, and the Pac-12 is ascending to me. I like what Justin Wilcox is doing at Cal. And I like what Jed Fish is doing at Arizona. So my stance could change in a couple of years. I do like some of the coaching moves coming out of the Pac-12. Of course, now UCLA and USC are about to leave. But I do, if the Pac-12 stays together, I think it's ascending because of some of the head coaching hires they made in recent years. But that's also why if I'm the Big 12, I'm trying to get Arizona, trying to get Arizona State. I'm trying to get some of those teams to kind of come join your league. I would try to go get Colorado because at least you can get that Denver market, even though Colorado stinks. But I would make a run. I would try to raid the Pac-12 before the Big 10 does if I'm the Pac-12. I would try to raid the Pac-12 if I'm the Big 12 before the Big 10 does. Is what I would do. So anyway,
Ryan, Colorado should not be a Pac-12 team. They just should not be.
No, they should have always been, just like Nebraska should. I mean, if I would do a trade, hey, we won't get into a bidding war for you for Oregon and Washington if you give us Nebraska back. If you give us Nebraska. And then you bring Nebraska, get Colorado, get Utah, get Arizona State, and all of a sudden now, you know, you've got a chance to kind of go do some things. That's what I would do. Anyway. Ryan, it was great doing a show with you again, man. It's been a pleasure. I want to thank you for helping out this week. I want to thank everybody who stepped up this week. We did have a couple super chats. I know we did get to those super chats. I don't think we had any pop up here at the end, Ryan, that I missed. I just want to make sure that I didn't miss anybody's super chats. I want to thank everybody for your prayers this week. I want to thank everybody for your support. We just want to thank everybody for here we go. This is a good one here. From Tyler Evans, Brian and Ryan, I'm taking my father to UNLV game. He has not made it there since 1988 against Miami. Well, hey, maybe that's a good sign, right? You know, that kind of was the game that was the springboard for Notre Dame becoming a dominant program. You know, and so your dad could be the, Tyler, your dad could be the good luck charm for Notre Dame. So, Ryan, I think that is it for Super Chats from everybody. Thank you all so, so much. Tomorrow, 10 a.m., me and Sean Davis, IB countdown to kickoff. Be there. Join us. Join the message board at irishboards@irishbreakdown.com. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Hit the notification bell. Share this podcast. Hug your wife and kids. Hug your family. Don't take for granted that you will get tomorrow, because we don't always have it. So I want to thank all of you all so much. We will talk to you again very soon on the Irish Breakdown podcast.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.